Hey, welcome to Juice. I'm Gwen Douglas.
And I'm Emily Harmon.
Today's episode is...
Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon Blanc. So, what do we think about Sauvignon Blanc?
What do we think about Sauvignon Blanc? I mean, it's funny because I think from a wine trade perspective, it's definitely the most dissed down grape variety that exists today. I mean, after Gewurztraminer.
Oh my God. I have to say, I definitely... I mean, other than Cuvée Buffet and the shitloads of Chardonnay, Jackson Triggs Chardonnay that I drank early on in my wine drinking life, I would say the next thing that I moved on to was Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, it's a good little entry point into wine. Absolutely. It's that wine that sort of, it's so pronounced and often overblown, and it's made often in the same way everywhere. In general, it's a very good sort of textbook wine to learn from, and it's definitely a wine I learned from early days.
Yeah, because I think it was probably one of the first wines that I drank where you were like, there were actually identifiable things that you could smell and taste because they're so obvious.
Yeah.
So I think it was a really good starting point into being like, ooh, I can smell a bit of this or that.
I totally agree. I think I remember reading the tasting notes for it and then actually finding them like, oh, this does smell like grapefruit. This does smell like cat's piss. This does smell like
cat
grass. Gooseberries. Gwen and I have been arguing over how to pronounce gooseberry because she says gooseberry and I say gooseberry.
I mean, I've probably just still say it the same way I've been saying it since I was five.
I want to know if your mum and dad both say gooseberry or if they say gooseberry.
I bet you my dad says gooseberry like you do. Like, of course he does.
But he's Scottish.
Gooseberry. Aye, gooseberry.
I appreciate that Sauvignon is a good little segue wine for people trying to learn because it's so aromatic and quite pronounced in many ways. I can often, sometimes when I'm in restaurants, I can smell glasses of Sauvignon Blanc going past when they're in the glasses. Like I can act. I'm like a dog.
Yeah.
But what is that coming past?
That's a hashtag waiting. I'm like a dog.
Hashtag wine dog.
Yeah, wine dogs.
I mean, it's not too far away from the wolf.
It's like reservoir dogs, like wine dogs.
But what was your impression of Sauvignon then? Was it much the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was definitely also the first time I was actively looking for a particular grape where I was like, oh, I like Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
And then also when I discovered Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, then it was like, oh, I like Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. It became sort of like, I felt like I knew something.
Yeah. I agree. It's empowering. It's an empowering grape for the beginner. And what about now, though?
I don't drink as much of it as I used to. But I definitely drink more sort of, I mean, you know, I love the Sébastien Riffaut Sancerre.
Yeah, the slippery one that you snuck up on me with the New Year's Eve blind wine.
Yeah, and I actually...
Tricked me into thinking it was a Gewurztraminer.
Yeah. I still like Sauvignon Blanc. I have to say, though, it's not something I'm drinking so much of. Probably because I live with an Austrian, so when we're drinking whites, we're drinking sort of these, like, cleaner, crisper, like, grüner, veltliner kind of... whites, but I still think that I really like natural, like a lot of natural Sauvignons, just the same way that aromatics like Gewurztraminer when they're made in a natural way can be way more interesting.
It's funny because I try Sauvignon less and less because there is less of it, I guess, on restaurant lists today because it has fallen out of trend, at least with the wine trade.
Is that because it's just got so popular, like, in the supermarket? I think it's, like, the number one selling supermarket wine.
And it became very industrial. Yeah. And I think... And then it was kind of like, you weren't cool unless you said Sauvignon Blanc was shit sort of thing. Like, it was very much like...
I hate when that happens for anything. Yeah. I just hate having to, like...
I mean, it's kind of like this new trend of, like, people saying that beards are going out of fashion all of a sudden.
Like,
I'm like,
and everyone's rocking those, like creepy uncle mustaches that I love.
Yeah, but most men look better with a beard because not all men have these chiseled jawlines.
You can sculpt your face. Yeah
exactly. So it's like, come on. I think that's mainly it's fallen out of trend. It's funny because I... Like, when you gave me the one blind, and then I'd actually been given one blind at... it was a Didier Dagenaud, but one with age at Noble Rot. And I didn't get it immediately. And it is quite interesting because Sauvignon with a bit of age on it, when it's made by a good producer, it can make some really exciting wine. I just think it's all about the terroir, the place, the producer.
Absolutely.
And how they're working in the vineyard.
I think that's a,
and if they're not using selected yeast.
Yeah, sure.
And so today we've got two Sauvignons. One you've bought and I've bought one.
One that I've bought completely randomly, just gone, ooh, I've not had that before. Because the only Sauvignon Blanc, I went to my local, and the only two Sauvignons that were not from France were Oyster Bay from New Zealand.
Which I kind of wish you'd bought, because that would have been quite interesting to actually taste it, because it's been a very long time since I've tasted that wine.
I just felt like, I just thought I'd get made fun of if I brought the Oyster Bay.
I might have made it.
Yeah, you probably would have. So
I'm mean like that.
So I've just brought like a random, one that I haven't tried before, but it's from South Africa, from, I want to say it in a way that's like...
Oh, the producer.
Westhoff.
But you say it like Westhoff. I think you'd say it like a Dutch person, no?
De Westhoff.
Yeah. What's Vets?
I don't know. Oh, okay. That's not a thing. It's probably just a...
That's not... Yeah, I mean, it might be a thing, but maybe we don't know it's
I just
a thing.
Don't know what it is. So it's from South Africa. There's a house on the label. 2018... Yeah, curious.
Okay. And I guess before we open that, things that are the typical descriptors for Sauvignon Blanc that everybody, if someone's never tried Sauvignon Blanc, and I think heaven forbid somebody listens to this podcast that hasn't. Like,
and he's like, ooh, I want to give that a try.
introduce yourselves to us, because we're a bit confused how you found us. But no, all jokes aside, I think Sauvignon Blanc, always an aromatic grape variety. Yeah. Sometimes oaked, but... most of the time, not in oak. Key regions for it are obviously the Loire Valley in France is sort of quite an interesting region for it. Bordeaux as well, and then the New World, South Africa, and especially New Zealand.
Yeah.
And a little bit in northern Italy as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Alto Adige, they're quite good for aromatic white in there. But Sauvignon Blanc, depending where it's grown, obviously different in its expression, but always this very herbaceous... sometimes cut grass, sometimes like spring peas, sometimes these vegetal notes of asparagus, red pepper, and then these sort of floral notes of elderflower. Like, it literally is like springtime.
It really makes me think of green when I think of Sauvignon.
I think of I think of like the English countryside. Spring, also, because you often pick up this like blackcurrant note sometimes as well,
which is really like bramble bushes along the roadside. And
And then obviously this slight chemical note, which some people say is cat's pee. So there's that famous tasting note of cat's pee on it.
It's funny because that's a note because of that blackberry leaf kind of scent. It happens a lot with perfumes that have blackberry. This often can be registered as having this like cat pee thing too.
Yeah.
It can be a tricky scent to use in perfumes for the same reason.
That's interesting. And then if it's in New Zealand or somewhere a bit warmer, you get a bit more exotic tropical fruit, like passion fruit, for example, comes out, which is for some people an absolute delight.
I love passion fruit, so it's probably one of the reasons I love Sauvignon.
So I actually think we should start with your wine today.
Yes, absolutely, because I think we're going to see what happens. Exactly. It's a screw cap. Nice and easy.
I know. Perfect picnic wine here. I mean...
Thank you. Sorry, I'm a bit heavy on the pour today.
Let's hope it's good then. So, because we don't know anything about it, should we have a little look at the back label?
I'm just going to... Let's have a look at the label. I mean, it's telling us it's going to be tropical in style.
I mean, I do love a label that tells you exactly what you're going to taste. The D. Wetzhoff Estate Sauvignon Blanc is tropical in style with delicate mineral flavours, finishing off with a deliciously fresh citrus aftertaste. I mean, it's pretty much generically described every Sauvignon Blanc in the world here, isn't it? It does mention that they're a producer of noble varieties, they produce elegant wines, finest quality, rich calcareous soils of the Robertson region. And that's about it, actually. There's not that much. It's 12.5% alcohol.
I mean, it's very tropical on the snoot. Then there's, like, pineapple, maybe a little underripe pineapple and some passion fruit.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely much more sensitive to pineapple because there is always a pineapple on your kitchen table, which I had a laugh when I walked in here today because I saw the pineapple again. I was like, oh,
I'm obsessed.
I'm also because I only ever see a whole pineapple. So
yeah,
I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm like, is there one already cut up in the fridge? Like, I never seem to get it in its harvesting moment.
We basically buy it and then open it and then we don't buy another one until, like, the other one's gone. But it usually only takes two sittings. It's because I bought some of that Don Papa rum from the Philippines. And that shit is so delicious with pineapple.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to buy you an ornamental pineapple just for
the... I have to say, though, it was one of the nicest gifts I ever got from someone was a pineapple.
No, I meant like an actual like ceramic, pineapple. Ceramic pineapple. Maybe when we make our clay... We do our clay one with clay, I'll make you a clay pineapple.
But I think that pineapples make very lovely gifts. They're nicer than flowers. They look funny. They make you laugh. They smell fucking insanely delicious when they ripen. And then you can eat them. Not like flowers. I mean, okay. I love flowers. There's always fresh flowers.
So for your big birthday this year, I'll just get you the biggest pineapple.
Just a fucking bunch of pineapples, yeah.
Can you imagine? A wheelbarrow full of pineapples.
Imagine it's like those edible arrangements they have in the States, but just like whole pineapples on sticks.
But you're right, it is more tropical on the nose for sure. Has a little bit of that passion fruit there, the pineapple for sure. Grassy, but more of this like pink grapefruit as well.
I have to say that the taste isn't as tropical as it smells.
I mean, it does tell us on the back label there's a citrusy finish. So, quite fruity, it's round.
It's not as tropically on the taste that I would imagine from the smell.
No, but actually, I still find it quite fruity.
Yes, it is still fruity. Mm. And I think it does have that citrus finish, but I don't necessarily love the citrus finish.
I can imagine a lot of people liking this wine because it's fruity. It's relatively round for Sauvignon. It's not too acidic. It has not a bad finish, but I don't think it's that complex.
I think for me, it's not my favourite.
I don't know. Like, I think a glass... I feel very much like this is a wine to get served in like a chain hotel.
I was totally thinking like a generic cafe terrace.
I'm in Ibis styles. Oh, Ibis wow. Styles. You know, like, or maybe, do you think that's too harsh?
Maybe a little more. Well, I don't know, because I think I could see this at any just like regular cafe. Yeah.
There's a slight astringency there that I don't like.
You know what it is? It's reminding me of that terrible Grauburgunder that I bought at the Spätti. It has that lemon.
I mean, so
that
my,
like added acidity kind of thing.
So really what I've just said about Ibis Stars is not that harsh, not that considering harsh, no. What you just said, because that wine was horrible.
And that wine was horrible, but that's what it's reminding me of. It does have that like...
slightly synthetic.
Lemon. Yeah, it has that synthetic acidity at the end. That's what it's...
I think it's nowhere near as bad as that, but it is... There is
no,
some,
of course no. Not. It's just reminiscent of... Yeah.
I mean, I don't... I think... I mean, how much did you pay for it?
I think it was under 20. I bought like a granny cart full of wine to come home, so I'm not quite sure.
I think it's not
maybe around 15, let's say.
Yeah.
Between 15 and 20. It's not awful. No.
It's not awful, but it's
not, it's not what I'm going back for.
The only thing I would say, which I think... But I think you're right. I'm missing a bit of personality here. Where's the soul?
You're not going to remember it. You know, out of all the Sauvignons you've drank, you're going to be like, it was all right. Yeah, we had a glass of white.
Yeah, this is textbook Sauvignon for people who just want something that does taste like Sauvignon, which it does.
Yep, totally.
There's something that's
easy,
fruity.
It's inoffensive, it's easy. Yeah. I mean, I would, if I was sitting on a terrace at a place that just had white and red wine and this was the white wine, I would happily drink a couple of glasses and...
I might even put an ice cube in it.
I've been known to do that.
Sauvignon Blanc coolies or whatever they're called.
I think I'm heading into my cougar years. I feel like ice cubes are what cougars do. In the sunshine.
You're still in your 30s. You're not in your cool years. Shut up.
For a couple more months. All right, down the hatch.
We won't be drinking this one. We're in the Block Hotel suite for your 40th.
No. I still have to write to them. Dear Block Hotel, please send me a weekend at the Block. Emily, what have you brought today?
So I thought if we're going to drink Sauvignon... We're going to drink Sauvignon from a good producer.
Yes, thank the Lord.
So it's not the top wine from this producer, but it's their entry level from a producer that I really like.
I got excited when I saw the bottle.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So Gérard Boulay, one of the best producers in Sancerre, in my opinion, and I think quite a lot of other people's opinion, actually. So this is the Chavignol 2017 Sancerre from Gérard Boulay. So I believe this is a blend of three different plots. So a lot of his other wines are sort of single vineyard.
This was actually one of the bottles that in my quarter of Master Sommelier's intro that I used.
Brilliant.
For one of my...
Pairings.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That I did with my goat cheese salad.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I quite like Skin Contact Sauvignon. mm-hmm. as we know. But like Loire Valley from a good producer, there's a delicacy, there's more of this citrusy, very delicate herbal note. It's a bit more restrained,
right.
It's much more mineral. And I think I much prefer the Loire Sauvignons for my taste. The only other place that I quite like is Margaret River in Western Australia, because it's whenever I visit my parents, I drink Sauvignon okay. Sauvignon blends, and it's very much like I'm at the beach. So I'm drinking
like a nostalgic kind of like it's home.
It's like when you drink a pina colada, it takes you yeah. on holiday.
Okay, cool.
So those wines from Margs do that for me, but I think the Sancerre from this guy is very, very pure and quite delicious.
I really like this wine.
Chalky.
Yeah. But exactly what you said, restrained. Because
yeah.
it has all of the flavors that you expect, but in this like delicate, lovely, yeah. not over the top, like punch you in the face kind of.
And the nose is immediately different totally. From what we smelt before. It's not got that exotic no. note. For me, it's like you're getting more of this, again, like grapefruit pith.
Mm-hmm.
Again, herbal, like these sort of spring pea note there. And this chalky, like it literally smells of chalk to me.
Yeah, wet chalk.
I like this wine a
oh,
lot.
It's really nice. Oh, it's so yummy. Well, yeah, it's funny, because when I did the exam, I was so stressed the night before, because I obviously don't work in a restaurant, so everyone else had their wine list
from
their,
they can refer to.
And I didn't. Yeah. So I had to spend the whole night before making a wine list that I could remember, and originally I thought, okay, I'll just make like a fake wine list, and I thought, I have to do it from wines that I've had before. So this was one that went on there. And I was really happy when I saw my menu list and I saw goat cheese salad. And I was like, yes! Classic pairing.
Did you get given a list? A menu?
No. You basically walk in and they turn a page over.
Okay, so when I did my quartermasters, you were... Basically, what I had to do was I had to open a bottle of sparkling wine.
But for the intro, it's just a normal bottle of wine.
So I don't know if this was just...
You do sparkling for certified.
Yeah, so I did that on... But I don't remember there being, like, a menu turned over.
For the intro for us, it was you walk in, you say hi, like, you greet the guest, and then they turn over a sheet of paper, and it's different for every person. So then they turn it over, and you have a starter, a main, and a dessert, and you have to have options for all, and options in case they say, well, I don't want to... New World or Old World, do you have another option? So when I saw it was like goat cheese salad, like a meat stew with bacon, a beef stew with bacon lardons, and then a panna cotta with fruit at the end, I was like, yes! I was so happy.
Yeah.
And I think he rolled his eyes because everything I said was natural.
But this isn't, I think this is very classic, this one.
I think so too. I think it's, because it is,
Boulé is for everybody. I think completely. I believe that they're organic.
Yeah, I really love this one. It's funny that when we really like something, there's less talking about it and just like
drinking.
Just drink it.
Yeah.
There's like not much to talk about. Like, you're just like, it's fucking delicious.
But that's like everything in life. Yeah. There's less talk and there's more action.
Yeah. It's really yum.
It's so, like dating.
Yeah, we're just like sitting here drinking it. Like, so what do you want to talk about?
It's funny as well, because I remember this label very vividly of the first time I tried this wine, and it's when I was working at Attica in Australia, and I think it was either in 2009 or 2010, so it's like almost 10 years ago I tried this wine. I remember thinking, it's a really naff label.
I know, I was thinking that too.
Like, it's almost written in Comic Sans.
I know, it's got this
typeface.
Like
face.
It kind of has this like mumsy country kitchen look about it.
Yeah, it is.
And I think what's funny about this is, I think I have the photos I have of it, I think I have pictures of it up against some straw or something, where I've had it at a restaurant.
What restaurant are you at when you're putting your bottle of wine against some straw?
I'm not sure.
But this label is, it's almost, but it's also so uncool that it's almost cool now.
Well, that's what I was trying to say is that now when I look at it, when you brought it, you see the label and it's like instantly recognizable and you're like, ooh, you get excited because you see it. So actually sometimes a shitty label actually can inspire you to remember it at least.
Yeah. And I think it reminds me of this slightly Comic Sans typefaces on it. Reminds me a little bit, like it's almost like it's got this jester.
Absolutely.
I don't know why.
With the, like, curly.
Yeah.
It's like a doodly notebook, like. Yeah. I mean, I've seen worse labels. We've definitely seen worse ones.
So Gwen, I hate to be the person prompting you, because this is usually your turf.
Oh yeah, what would I eat with this?
We didn't do it with the wine before.
Because...
But I don't think you would... I don't know why I'd eat that.
No, you know what? When I
cheap
drink
boozy.
The other one, I just think about, like, wooden tables like rickety wooden tables sitting on a terrace at a cafe you've never been to, and you're like, can I have a white wine? And then that's what they bring you.
Recycled plywood furniture in Berlin is what I think of.
I don't really think about food with that. Maybe a bag of crisps. And then it did smell like barbecue crisps.
I love that you call them a bag of crisps, because I know they're a bag of crisps, but I always think of them as a packet of crisps. It's a bag.
That's why my accent and my vernacular is a mess, because I pick and choose words from both North America and the UK and mix them up. It's a pick-a-mix. You don't know what you're going to get.
I don't know what I'm going to get. No. It's very entertaining.
Could be trousers, could be pants. But this one, yeah.
What would you have with this then? So you've said your little goat cheese salad.
That's like the classic. Which is the classic.
Chavignol, cheese, for example. The goat's cheese called Chavignol. The classic things everybody pairs, and it feels very repetitive to have to say.
Yeah, but it's good.
But like asparagus.
Yes.
Asparagus and egg.
Eggs would be great. This would be a good brunch one.
Yeah, this could potentially be a... Eggs Benedict.
Yeah, totally. Just roasted chicken, potato, like just light, nice, think picnic, balcony, summer, or just drink the bottle and have some cheese on the side.
The other thing with obviously asparagus we've already just said, but like in Germany, the asparagus season is never ending, isn't it? It's like... It's not like the
But you're talking about
season.
Like the white asparagus.
Yeah, and it's like, and then every menu...
Because I'm picky about that shit. I didn't see these white asparaguses until I moved back to Europe in 2009.
I mean, the white asparagus is... And I mean, I've never seen asparaguses as big as I've seen here. I
humongous.
Mean, they're absolutely huge.
Yeah, they're like courgettes. What is this?
It's quite funny over here, this Spargelzeit, like asparagus time. And it's written on all of the menus.
Yeah.
Of like, as you go into like late spring, for pretty much the whole of summer, it's like you just eat the same five dishes, and you can have asparagus with
them.
And
I have to say, I prefer green asparagus. The only time I've ever had white where I really liked, I don't know, that's a bit...
Maybe we should do a green versus white asparagus taste-off.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. I think it's a lot, they're a lot thinner, aren't they, the green ones, whereas the
and
white
I like
ones
the really,
are wider.
I like the really thin green ones, where they're not like... woody, because otherwise when they get a bit bigger they can get a bit woody.
I never find them too woody because I like quite sweet.
The white ones for me, I just find like they're like tofu. They take on whatever flavor you put on them.
I like that they're a bit more subtle.
Yeah,
the green one, I mean, immediately, like when you go to the toilet.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the fun, where you're like
get to relive it again.
Ooh, asparagus.
Oh, the scent of asparagus twice in one day, or maybe three times. So anyway, back to the pairing. So
we just went on the strangest asparagus tangent. Like, what's wrong with us? Anyway.
So asparagus, goat cheese. What else do you think with this?
I think of pastry, to be honest.
Do you?
Like tarts, quiche, things in parcels, little tarts. Like, I think that would be really nice. Like spring tarts and... So we've got Ludi yelling in the background.
Searching for us. Yeah. No, that's quite nice. And sort of Mediterranean flavours.
Yeah, totally.
I think of
like grilled zucchini.
Zucchini, aubergine, red peppers.
Yeah, totally.
Green peppers,
I think
yellow
with
peppers.
Anything fresh element works
with
it.
Mediterranean veg. Yeah. Grilled Mediterranean veg even.
Yeah,
a little bit
totally.
Smoky. That could be quite nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is definitely, you know, if I had a little vegan restaurant, fresh flavours, fresh vegetables, even raw vegetables... This would be very nice with this. Radishes.
That's actually what's kind of funny about it going out of style. Maybe like...
Yeah, this could be the new hipster wine. Don't drink kombucha, get on the Sancerre.
Because I think like, actually that's what's quite funny is that the super industrial Sauvignon has been dissed because that's what got popular. But actually like good Sancerre is very... I mean, for what people are eating these days or what people want to be eating,
it's
which is
pure,
like fresh,
light,
vegetable based.
Yep.
This is a really great option for drinking with like veggie dishes.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, I think it's super versatile for food.
Yeah. Become a vegan, drink Sancerre.
Yeah, fuck it.
Become a vegan, drink boulé.
Yeah, drink boulé. Amazing. So, before we get too tippled here, we'd like to hear what your favourite Sauvignon Blancs are. Because...
Yes.
I'm always open to seeing what other people are drinking, and maybe you've got a nice one.
You can find us on Twitter, @juice_podcast, and on Instagram @juice.podcast.
And you can find our website @juice.show, where you can pick up a tote bag. So we look forward to hearing your
Sauvignon Blanc stories.
Yes. And otherwise, we see you next week for another episode of Juice. Cheers, Emily.
Cheers.